Good morning, church. So good to be with you this morning. Hope that your day's going well. Love this short sleeve weather, don't you? Man, this is more like it. It's hard to believe this morning when you get up that just a couple of days ago we're setting records, heat records, right, for Houston. So welcome to Houston. You got to love it. Somebody said this is more like, you know, where you came from. And I said, yes, it is, except now it'd be this temperature until June of next year. So we know that next week it's going to change here in Houston. So that's what I love about Houston. I really do. I love the cold weather, but I love knowing it's going to warm up. I probably don't have to remind you guys or even tell you guys that this week we have one of our major U.S. holidays, federal holidays, that's coming up. It's Thanksgiving. It's one of my very favorite holidays of the year. I wonder how it will be this year just because my taste buds are different. It's one of my favorite holidays because of the food. I'm just going to be honest with you. I loved turkey and dressing and all this. Just that meal. Just so look forward to it all my life. I'm such a foodie. And now food is quite a bit different to me than it used to be. So a lot of things I look forward to, and then I just can't taste them anymore. And so then that's kind of hard on me. So pray for me. I still want Thanksgiving to be one of those times. And so I'm going to have to focus on other things. I'm not sure what that's going to be, but I'll try to focus on some other things around Thanksgiving. Growing up, I don't know what you associated with Thanksgiving. Honestly, as a kid, I mostly associated the Thanksgiving meal. We used to get together as family when we could. More so when I got married, family traditions and holidays become a really important part of our life. But I remember back into my education. Do you remember what Thanksgiving is about? When you think back into your days when you first learned about Thanksgiving, and you know, it used to be about pilgrims and Native Americans getting together and having this great first Thanksgiving meal. Does that all sound familiar to you? Well, I thought I would review a little bit just the history of Thanksgiving, because it's been a while since I've done that. And I learned something this time that maybe I learned for the second time. I'm not sure. Did you know that even though they celebrated Thanksgiving, many, many years ago, it wasn't that long ago that it became a federal holiday? Do you know who it was that made it an ongoing federal holiday? Anybody smarter than I am remember this better? It was Abraham Lincoln. And what I didn't know is that he did that in the midst of the Civil War, that he created Thanksgiving as an ongoing federal holiday. Now, President Washington had made it a holiday one time, but it just wasn't followed up as an annual thing until Abraham Lincoln did that. During his presidency in the midst of the Civil War. And I found this quote. As he designated the day, he said that this should be a day where there's thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So as he imagined this as a federal holiday, one of the things that he thought should be central about the celebration of it is that this day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father who is giving so many things. Now imagine doing that in the midst of being the most powerful leader in the country, being torn apart by civil war. And yet, in the midst of that, he thought it would be a great idea for this country that's having such difficulty with one another to remember a day where we remember God, the giver of all things, and to give him praise and thanksgiving. Well, at Halloween, I showed this video from the History Channel, and they made another one about Thanksgiving, and I want you to know a little bit more about the holiday. They did a great job just summarizing the history of the holiday, and so here's one that they put together for Thanksgiving. I don't know why I thought they always pardoned turkeys. I didn't realize that it was that new of a thing. I thought that was part of the tradition. Isn't it funny how traditions sort of change and get shaped along the way from that 3-day meal? I say we bring that back, don't you? Let's have a 3-day festival. That's more like it. I mean, hunting and fishing and eating, that sounds great to me. I think we should have kept that tradition. There are so many holidays in the United States, a few of them federal holidays that we celebrate. And maybe you love them because it's time off work. I mean, let's face it, that's a fun part of our holidays, is usually the whole nation, well, it used to be, had this time off work. It's getting more and more where people are working on holidays. But they have such deep, really, roots and meaning in our society and in our nation. And I think they're really important. Things like 4th of July and Thanksgiving, Christmas, Memorial Day, I just think the heart of them is really important for us. And I think we should continue to remember sort of the heart of what our holidays are, because they have such deep meaning. You know, if you've read Scripture very much, you realize that especially early on, God really initiated and authored many holidays for his people. When he gathered together the nation, there were at least 7 major feasts that had holidays during the year where they came together and celebrated different things about, you know, historical things that happened in the midst of God bringing them together and leading them, you know, the Exodus and Passover and harvest time. And God initiated these amazing sort of holidays for them. For what purpose? To remember, right? To remember so they wouldn't forget. But did you know that one of the major Jewish holidays that is still celebrated today was actually initiated and decreed by humans and not by God? And yet the Jewish people as a nation still celebrate this holiday every year. And did you know that holiday that's initiated by human beings is first found in the book of Esther? This, by the way, is our third and final chapter of my 3-part series on Esther. And we're going to be looking at how this holiday came to be. It's toward the end of Esther chapter 9. It's mentioned a little bit in chapter 10. But it's toward the end of chapter 9 where humans actually decree that this holiday should take place in the Jewish nation. Now remember that God is never mentioned in Esther. But in the midst of everything that goes on in Esther, you can't help but see God at work. And I think that's important for us to hear, that even in the midst of some decisions that we make, traditions that we create, that God can be at work in those, even though he doesn't specifically in Scripture decree those things. And so just a quick review to catch us up. Esther begins with Queen Vashti, Xerxes' queen, causing a trouble, and she's kicked out, and so he begins to look for a new queen. And so Vashti is out, and Queen Esther gets in because she's the most beautiful woman in the land. There's a big beauty pageant, and she wins, basically. And so she's in. And it's not long after that Mordecai, her uncle, overhears a plot to kill the king, to take the king's life. He reveals that now to Queen Esther. Esther reveals that to the king, and the plot is squelched, and the king's life is saved. And the king remembers that it's Mordecai that does that. Mordecai, now soon after that, gets sideways with the number 2 man at that time in Susa. His name is Haman. And he and Haman really get sideways, and Haman decrees that he's going to kill every single Jewish person in the land because he's learned to hate Mordecai so much. He talks to the king into making this decree. And so this decree is there now to annihilate the Jews completely. And right after that, King Xerxes remembers what Mordecai did for him, calls Haman in and says, "What should I do to someone who the king wants to honor?" And Haman, thinking it's himself, creates this wonderful picture of what it means to honor the king. We talked about this just last week. You know, get this horse and put a royal crown and put the royal robe on him and make, you know, go through the streets yelling to everybody, "This is what the king does to those he delights to honor." And then the king reveals to Haman that's what he wants him to do for Mordecai, his arch enemy. Funniest part of the whole book. I just love that part of the book. And so he has to spend all day leading Haman around on this horse, doing the very thing he'd hoped to do. And at the end of that, it's actually Haman's wife that says, "This is the beginning of your downfall. because Mordecai is a Jew and you can't possibly stand up because he's rising up and you are being put down. And so it's not long after that that Esther has this banquet with the king and with Haman alone, and on the second day of the banquet reveals to the king that Haman intended, and this decree is in place now, to kill all of the Jews. And up to this time, Esther has not revealed her nationality to the king, but she does and says, I'm one of those Jews. And so this Haman, this man sitting next to you in this banquet, intends to kill all of my people and me included. And it makes the king furious. But there's nothing he can do, because once the king has decreed something, it can't be undone. And so what he does is allow Mordecai and Esther to write a new decree that on the day that people are coming to destroy them, to annihilate them, they can defend themselves. Even in the capital city of Susa, even in the capital city of the king basically says, you can defend yourself against the people of this land in my city, and you have the right to go into battle. And so they do that. In the midst of that battle, they prevail. It actually lasts 2 days. It lasts for one day in the city and in the rural communities, and it lasts one more day in the city. And before it's finished, more than 75,000 people in King Xerxes' country are killed by the Jewish people. Now, let's think about that. 75,000 people are killed by the Jewish people. And it's all at the decree of the king. Now, if you don't see in the midst of that God protecting and guarding his nation in the midst of this other nation, then it's really hard to read Esther without seeing God involved in that, isn't it? And so at the end of that, they make this decree of their own, and Mordecai will send out a letter to all of the Jews proclaiming this celebration now on these 2 days that where they were victorious over their people and where they were allowed to continue on and not be annihilated. And so we come to Esther chapter 9, where this new holiday is put into place. And here's what it says in a few of the verses toward the end of chapter 9. Mordecai recorded these events, the events of what happened, their victory. And he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes near and far to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim should never fail to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of these days die out among their descendants. And so this is a decree in Esther. He sends it out to 127 provinces and says, on the 14th and 15th day of their month of Adar, that you're going to celebrate this two-day celebration where there's food and there's gifts and there's basically just this huge party for 2 days. And then Esther, at the end of chapter 9, the very last verse, it says, Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records. And from that day on was created the Jewish holiday of Purim. Did you know they still celebrate it today? Purim in 2017 was March 11 and 12. And you're thinking to yourself, wait, I thought they said the 14th and 15th day. Now, remember that the Jewish, well, that's not fair. If you did not know, the Jewish calendar and the Roman calendar, which we follow, are different. And so the 11th and the 12th of March happen to be the 14th and 15th day of the Jewish calendar in the month of Adar. It's going to be much different in 2018. Actually, it's in February and March, the 28th and the 1st. But they continue to celebrate it. The interesting thing is, what I love about their holiday, like our holidays, is it sort of transformed itself along the way. Where it was, you remember, for food, for banquets, for giving gifts to the poor, and for celebration. Well, now there are new traditions that are out there, and they actually put costumes on. It's sort of like their celebration of Mardi Gras. If you look at what they do when they celebrate Purim now, they put on costumes, and they still give gifts, and they still have these feasts. But it has changed. It has developed some throughout the years. But they still do it to do what? to remember the core reason for the holiday. And that is, on those days, they received relief from their enemies. And just like Purim, I think holidays do that for us. I think holidays in our lives, in our modern lives, do that for us. Or they should do that for us. And from the book of Esther, and from their holiday tradition, their celebration, I want us to think about three things that carry over into our holidays and what makes them an important opportunity for us. Number one, holiday was an important opportunity for them to connect. Now, I'm not talking about community. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But connect to the reason for the celebration. This is one of the things we're getting challenged with in the United States, by the way. We have federal holidays and celebrations, but we're like slowly, I feel like, losing connection with the purpose and the reason that we're celebrating. And we can be so much about the celebration that we've sort of forgotten the reason. What was the reason for Thanksgiving? They were celebrating the first harvest. The original Thanksgiving was to celebrate the first harvest, giving thanks. Remember, they were pilgrims. They were godly people. They were giving thanks to God for a harvest. They had been through one of the hardest winters of their lives. They had literally lost half of their village over the winter. People had died of starvation and cold. And so they had been through the summer, and now the harvest was there, and they had all this food, and things were bountiful. And even though they were just on the verge, on the edge of losing many of their family members, they found a way to celebrate on that Thanksgiving Day. And in the midst of the Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln first created the Thanksgiving holiday to be a national holiday, they were in the midst of families fighting against one another, of nations being torn apart by war. And yet in the midst of that, Abraham Lincoln, who I think was also a very godly man, understood there's times we need to remember to stay focused on being thankful for what God provides, even in the hardest times of life. And I hope and pray that Thanksgiving will always be that connection for you, that amidst of the food and the football and the celebrations, you'll take time, even if it's just individually, to remember and to thank God that, yeah, we may have been through some tough times this year. Kathy and I admittedly have been through some tough times this year. But even in the midst of that, we see this amazing God who has been providing for us in so many ways. Many of you have been through some very terrible and are in the midst of still some very hard times and in floods and in your homes trying to be rebuilt. And it's not going to be one of those Thanksgivings where you get to say, we're going to celebrate in my home this year. You're going to have to do that in alternative places. But in the midst of that, I'm not making light of the difficult times of life. Don't hear me wrong. I'm just saying that in the midst of that, it is our opportunity to make connection with still a beneficent God who's worthy to be honored and praised in all aspects of our life, right? In the hard times and in the good times. And I pray that you keep that remembrance alive, not just at Thanksgiving. Christmas is just around the corner. You remember the reason for Christmas? I think it's also an opportunity for celebration. Now I'm going to tell you that some of you don't need an excuse to celebrate. Praise God for you people. I was blessed to be able to marry into somebody who doesn't need a reason to celebrate. And I need that. Because if it wasn't for Kathy in my life, my celebrations would be like, whoop, okay, let's go on. Let's get something done. Let's be productive, right? But Kathy knows how to party. And I love that about her. We need you people so badly in our lives. Because church, and I think God knows this, we need reason to celebrate. We need to be involved in celebration, to forget stuff that's going on a daily basis in our life and just take time out and do something different and be able to just have some fun together, just celebrate together, just enjoy the day. And not worry about what your Monday morning is going to be or your Friday morning is going to be. What time does that store open on Friday again? Who cares about that? On Thanksgiving, just celebrate. Just enjoy the time to enjoy the day and for those of you who are like me, and I'm preaching to myself right now, just loosen up a little bit. Just have a little fun. Enjoy a celebration. That's what holidays are for. They're meant to really let us let our hair down and celebrate. And so the last opportunity that we have is this opportunity for community. And I think that happens certainly at Thanksgiving and our holidays with family. And I think that's important. But I don't want you to lose sense of the nationality of the holiday either. Certainly when Esther and Mordecai proclaimed this holiday of Purim for the Jewish people, their first thought in mind was the thought of community as a whole, our nation as a whole. We're in this together. And you don't have to flip on the news very long to find out that we have plenty of excuses to tear one another apart. We have plenty of excuses to differ with each other and to find reasons to be mad at each other. But don't we also need reason to know that we're in this together? We are a nation of the United States of America, and I think that's important. But church, I think we always need to remember that we are a nation, a kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we're never in this alone. We have this amazing community of people who in the midst of holidays we can connect with. And I think we should even do that nationally. We should learn to take Jesus' example and find ways to be gracious and merciful and unite and love one another. There's plenty of reasons. And you can find them on every street corner, why we shouldn't. But there's one main reason that we should. Because it is the call of our Father who is in heaven that we learn to love one another. So let me just say, Happy Purim. By the way, it's February 28th through March 1st of 2018. So, or maybe we should say Happy Thanksgiving. It's a little closer. So let's do that. Since it's our national holiday, let me say Happy Thanksgiving. Remember to connect this year. Even if you're having troubling times. Even if, and I know, again, holidays can be difficult for folks who have lost loved ones. Even in the midst of hard times. Let's take a time to come together and connect with that important theme of giving thanksgiving and praise to our Father in heaven. Take time to celebrate. Just let your hair down. Wherever you have to let it down, just let it down and celebrate. And I hope you have that opportunity. Put the rest of your days away, what you have to do the next day, what you should be doing the next week. Just for once, for one day, just say, I don't care. Live in the moment and celebrate. And then finally, get together with other people in some way, somehow. Even if that has to be in your small group, uniting yourself together with the family of God and with, even in the midst of our troubling times, this great nation where we have the freedom still to gather like we do this morning and celebrate together this amazing God. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for just your insight to provide for us holidays. And I know that we can take those for granted, Father. We don't want to do that. We want to enjoy the day and benefit from the day, just as we know your wisdom meant for that to happen for us. So, Father, as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday, we want to begin right now by giving you thanks for getting us through tough times, for standing beside us, for gathering others to be beside us, to even as John said today, to become people of new ministries because now we have this comfort that you provided that we can give to others. Even in the midst of those times, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise as a beneficent Father who has provided us all things. May you be honored in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.